And let's look, if we could, tonight, verse number 18. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Proverbs 29, verse number 18, where there is no vision. I want to be a person, and I want this to be a place of vision, because God says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so we want to be a people of vision. And I want to talk to you tonight, the second part of the message that I started last Sunday night on the power of vision. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we want to say thank you tonight for the privilege of being in your house and being able to lift you up and exalt you and make much of you. And I pray, Lord, that our church will be a force in our community and in our world for you. Lord, that we would propagate the gospel. Lord, that's what changes lives. And we would be busy about reaching people with the cause of Christ. And Lord, that we individually would get a hold of what you have for our lives, whether they're a young adult, whether they're a teenager or a child. Lord, I believe you can call children. I've known of men giving testimony, ladies giving testimony at a very early age that you call them into your service to preach or to be a missionary, or Lord, for a young lady to serve you in full-time service and lifetime service in some way. And Lord, that all of us, as Samuel was as a child, should be listening to your voice, that we might know your plan and know your purpose and your callings for our life. And Lord, that we'll grasp hold of it and never lose sight of it, and we would accomplish and be everything that we ought to be, should be, and can be as a person, as a child of the King. Lord, as one of your children tonight, as your servants, Lord, also as families, and then as a church family. And Lord, we want to do that. And I pray, God, you'll help me tonight to make your word understandable. And Lord, the Spirit of God would let it come alive and ignite something in our heart, Lord, that would burn brightly in this coming year for you. And we'll thank you and praise you for that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so, here Solomon stresses the importance and the necessity of every one of us, individually, our church collectively, of having a vision. He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. I mentioned last week that Helen Keller, a sightless woman, was asked the question. She said, is there anything worse, Ms. Helen Keller, than being blind? And here's what she said. She said, yes. She said, worse than being blind is to have sight but no vision. I'm afraid there are a number of people, there's a number of churches that they have sight, but they have no vision. And someone else said, the poorest man is not he who is without a cent, but he who is without a dream. And you know what? Every one of us ought to ask God to help us to dream something for Him, to have a desire to accomplish something, to be something, to do something, to make a difference in this world for Him. And you know, as a preacher, I want to be a person of vision. As the pastor of this church, I want us to be a people of vision, and we need a vision. I'm not talking about something we think up. I'm talking about something that God sends down. I'm talking about a vision that's God-given, a vision that of what God can do in and through your life, your family, this church. It's living out His goals, His plans, His purposes, His desires for His life. I believe it is bringing our lives onto His agenda. You realize that every one of us have an agenda, whether you've written it down or not, whether you've thought it through or not. You have even an agenda what you're going to do tomorrow. Some of you got a set time. You're going to get up in the morning, and you've got a routine that you're going to go through and go to work, and you're going to do this or that. You have an agenda. And listen, I believe it's important that we have God's agenda, amen, and that you're on His agenda for your life, and this church is on His agenda for this ministry. And I believe that what we could call His agenda is His will for our lives and for this ministry. It's getting hold of what could be and should be and can be done for God if we're willing to do it. And so I want to give you several thoughts again tonight on this matter of vision. First of all, vision speaks to us of possibility. Possibility. And I'm just going to run through this real quickly. Of what can be. Vision is a picture held in the mind's eye of the way things could or should be in the days ahead. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. It's a matter of something on the inside, seeing what should be and could be and can be for the Savior. It's maximizing our potential for Him. It is gaining higher heights spiritually as an individual Christian, as a family, as a church. It's being what God wants us to be. And I mentioned earlier that vision will determine your future and where we are today. today will be determined, tomorrow will be determined by the dreams and the decisions and the desires that we have today. And boy, how important it is that we have vision, because it'll determine our future. And I just remind you, God never consults your past to determine your future. God has a plan and a purpose and a will for your life. Then letter B, we talked about how that vision will determine your outlook. And the reason many people faint and quit in times of adversity is because they lose sight of the goal. They're consumed with what's around them rather than what's before them. And how important it is that we have the right outlook, and our vision will determine our outlook. And then letter C, I said vision will determine your associations. It'll determine who you hang around with, and those people that you surround yourself with. And you want to surround yourself with people that want to go somewhere for God, that want to be something for Him, that wants to, you want somebody that's going to sharpen your iron, that's going to challenge you and motivate you to be everything you can be for God. Young people, let me just challenge you. As you get into revival meeting tomorrow, as Brother Copeland begins to preach to you, listen, have an open ear and an open heart. Let God speak to you. Determine during that time, I'm going to get a heart. I'm going to have a heart for God. I'm going to get a vision. I'm going to get a desire. I want to listen to what God has to say to me about His will for my life and the direction for my life. And then determine to be the right kind of friend and surround yourself with those who are going to motivate you and challenge you to be everything you ought to be for God. And listen, that's true for every teenager in our church. Amen? Listen, you ought to have that desire, every child, and by the way, every adult. We ought to surround ourselves with people that motivate us and that move us and challenge us to be better for God. Read books. And listen, everybody ought to challenge. Listen, I ought to challenge everybody. No, don't just read your Bible. Read your Bible. Amen. But above everything else, read your Bible. But from time to time, I'm going to talk to you about a book you can buy in our library. And I was so encouraged about the number of devotionals that were bought. And we're going to say, hey, get this book right here. It'll impact your life. And read this book. And listen, we ought to be a reader. And, we go on a lot of diets in January. And I was reading here not long ago about something. Maybe we ought to go on a TV and internet and social media diet. After today, it's going to be real easy for me to do. But the reality is, you know, every one of us could cut back in some areas and spend some more time reading, some more time growing, some more time allowing our lives to be impacted by others around us, and maybe taking a diet for some things that, listen, I'm not saying that everything that's going to come across a TV screen or everything that you do on social media or everything that comes across on an internet screen is bad and wicked and wrong. I'm not going to tell you that, but what I am going to tell you that some good things can keep you from best things in your life. You know, even some things that may not be, I'm just going to tell you this. You're going to go a long way, a long time on network television to have anything to challenge you and move you and motivate you for spirituality. I can promise you that. You're going to go a long time before anything comes across that screen that makes you a better Christian, okay? Or makes me a better Christian. And so we need to do those things to help us be better Christian. We need to surround ourselves, even in that realm, with things that's going to challenge us and motivate us and help us. And then we talked about how that vision will determine beauty. What you do with your time, your talents, your abilities, God's made an investment in your life. He has. He's invested within you resources and ability and talents and gifts that are be used for the glory of God. And hey, when God invests something, He expects a return. Amen? And God's invested in our lives, and let's give Him a return. And somebody said, David Livingston said, I'll go anywhere as long as it's forward. We want to be going forward for Him. And then letter E, vision will determine the size of your faith. When you get a vision of what God wants you to be and do, it's going to stretch you. I can promise you that, and it's going to stretch your faith. Then there's a second word that goes with this idea of vision, and that is the word purpose. Purpose. Jot that word down. Notice what he says again in Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now that word vision means a revelation. It means a sight. It means to perceive. It incorporates knowledge and understanding. So in a literal sense, the word vision in Proverbs 29, 18 has to do with the written revelation of the Word of God. His God, what He's given to us in the Scriptures, the inspired Word of God. What I hold in my hand called the Bible. Hey, the best way I'm going to know God's agenda is from this book. If you're not in the book, you're not going to know anything about God's agenda. And so in a real practical sense, vision is the application of God's plan and purposes as revealed in His Word. Somebody called it inspired guidance. God wants to guide you and direct you. And so vision has to do with your life mission or your life purpose. Let me ask you a question. A lot of people talk about having a life verse. And somebody mentioned the other day, I believe it was Brother Curtis Gibson and his dear wife this past week, and we were talking about life verses, and she said, well, I've got... He said, Miss Gibson, he said, tell Pastor your life verse. And she said, which one? She had several of them. And it's okay to have several of them. Let me ask you a question. What's your life's mission? What are you wanting to accomplish on planet Earth for God? What do you want to be for Him? Listen, God may not be making you a David Livingston that's going to open up the interior of Africa with the gospel. But you know what? He may want you to make an impact in your family. He may want you to make an impact in your job. He may want you to make an impact through this ministry and in this community, through your bus route or through your Sunday school class. What kind of vision do you have for that classroom? What kind of vision do you have how God can use you in that Sunday school class or in that bus ministry or in that children's church class or maybe even in the nursery or whatever it is that God calls you to do as an usher, a greeter, guest services member of our church, serving in the different areas of ministry, of getting a hold of what you can be and can do for God and how you can make a difference for Him and asking Him to enlarge your coast and give you greater impact and greater influence so that you can make an impact for Him and I've learned that having a vision is to understand what God wants to do and can do in my life and then having the desire to experience and to accomplish it. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, before I formed thee in the belly, God said to Jeremiah, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Do you realize that God, in His foreknowledge and His providence, has fitted me for this hour. He's fitted you for this hour, for such a time. Hey, this is your hour to make a difference. Let's rise up and make a difference for Him. John 18:37, Jesus said this, thou sayest that I'm a king, talking to Pilate. He said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And so we're talking about what God has for us to accomplish in our lives. And so having a vision gives a person or a church a reason for existing. It answers the question, why am I here? Why am I here? What, am I here just to take up space? Why am I here? I'm to know God and love Him forever and glorify Him. That's why I'm here. But boy, I tell you, God wants to make that even more specific. He's got purpose. He's got plan. You say, preacher, how in the world can a Sunday school teacher impact the world? Well, ask Edwin Kimball, who won D.L. Moody to Christ. I believe there's a Sunday school teacher impacted the world. What do you think? You don't know who's sitting in that classroom. Sometimes our buses will bring some children in, and I understand there's times that can be exasperating. I can. They don't have a mom and daddy to sit with them in church and discipline them. They don't have a mom and daddy that cares whether they go to heaven or hell. They don't care. Hey, for most of them, we're a glorified babysitter for a few hours on a Sunday morning. But I tell you what, I'll gladly babysit their children for an hour, our ministry will, to be able to reach them with the gospel. You never know. You never know that there may be a child sitting in that class that's going to be impacted in this ministry that'll go and reach people like we've never known before in their community, wherever in our world. Listen, I'm going to just be honest with you. One of the worst things that has happened is that we've abandoned the inner cities of America, and there's a whole new mission field of breaking into these inner cities and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't know what God's going to do. There are some times, I'll tell you what, I'm sure that you could hang them on pegs till the service was over. I promise you could. I understand that. But I tell you what, I'm glad somebody was patient with me, and I bet you were glad somebody were patient with you. And listen, we're the only hope they've got. I want to say I appreciate the work that our bus workers do and our children's church workers and Sunday school teachers and the challenge that they have. And but don't lose sight of how God can use you in their lives. Listen, one soul, for you to stand in at the judgment seat of Christ and Him give you that soul winner's crown, because in your class that little boy got saved. In your class that little girl got saved. had a ninth grade teenager saved in bus church this morning, teen church this morning. Listen, hey, let me just be honest with you. The heavens was shouting and the bells were ringing in glory just as much over that little ninth grade girl in teen church as if somebody walked down the aisle of Calvary Baptist Church. Amen. Listen, there was no difference in the eyes of God. Amen. And you know what? Somebody had to have a vision to make that happen. So it gives us reason for and purpose. And the good news is we've already been given our life mission. You say, really, preacher, where's it at? It's called Matthew 28, 19 and 20. That's the overriding mission of every Christian's life. It's to be a disciple and to make disciples. Everything else in life radiates out from that focal point. You see, even that ninth grade girl getting saved this morning in teen church, that right there, that was the work taking place of this life being touched and changed, their eternal destiny changed from hell to heaven. And when you think about that, you're realizing that God's at work there and a disciple's been made. A disciple's been made. And that's what's important. Because God says to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew chapter 16 verse 15 and Matthew 28 19. He says that we're to go and teach all nations, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Listen, we ought never get over people coming to Christ and being saved. When you talk about disciple and discipleship, the word disciple means to be in the same way with. It means to be a follower of something or someone. And you and I are to be followers of Jesus Christ. And we're to help others to become followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to that group of men, follow me, and I will make you fish to become fishers of men. Listen, fishing for men starts with following Him. When we follow Him, the end results, we're going to be a fisher of men and we're going to reach others for Him. And I'm to be a follower of Christ, help others to become. And so the end goal of every disciple is to be like their master. So the end goal of every life is conformity to Christ. Now let's hold our place right here and let's look, if we could please, very quickly to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Notice the Bible says, and we know. Here's the promise. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, right there's the end goal of every Christian's life. That's the end goal of God's life for you, is to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so God, all those that He foreknew, all those that He knew before the foundation of the world that would receive His Son as their Savior, He destined beforehand that they would be conformed to His image. That word predestinated and foreknowledge has nothing to do with lost people. It has nothing to do with choosing who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. No, that's a choice God allows you to make. It has everything to do with the destiny of the saved. Whenever the word predestination is found in the Bible, it's only used in connection to the saints of God and never to the unsaved. Never. It's always used of your destiny. And God said, your destiny is to be made like my Son. And every day we live, we ought to be becoming more and more like Christ. We ought to be able to get a vision of becoming the person God desires for us to become. And listen, I believe that capsulizes the mission that God's given to us individually as Christians and collectively as a church. As part of the Calvary Baptist Church family, we embraced a mission for Iron Church. And I want to remind us, as we move to Vision Night, it's so important that we are reminded of the mission that God's given us. And we capsulized it in three headings, so to speak. The first one, and you heard it, but how important it is to live it, and that's honoring God. Say it with me, honoring God. Have you honored God with your life this year? Have you fulfilled that part of the mission? Have you sought to honor Him more this past year than you did last year? Have you honored Him in your family? Have you honored Him in your Bible reading? Have you honored Him in your prayer life? Have you honored Him in your witnessing? Have you honored Him in your giving? Have you honored Him in your serving? Have you honored Him in your home? Have you honored Him in what we watch and what we listen to and what we read and how we live? Have we honored God? Honoring Him. God says, "Them that honor Me, I will honor." And listen, can I tell you that God wants to honor you, but it starts by you honoring Him. The second one, not only were we to honor God, but the second aspect of the mission of our church is building lives. That's the first part, is making disciples. It's teaching, helping people to honor God. And for some, this year, for the very first time in their lives, they've learned what it means to honor God. For the very first time in some people's lives, because they were unsaved, they weren't a part of the family of God. And during this past year, they've come to know Christ as Savior. For the very first time in their life, there's someone working in them and desires welling up in them to honor God with their lives. For the very first time. Others, you've been saved for years. But boy, it never hurts for us to be reminded that my cause and my purpose as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is to honor Him. And then the next part is building lives. We go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. The part of the baptism is to identify them with the Savior and also to identify them with His local church. We want to connect them to Calvary Baptist Church. We want them to be a part of the Calvary Baptist Church family so that we can do the second part of the mission, which is teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And listen, that teaching them is building people's lives. It's growing them in grace. And listen, everybody ought to be growing for the Savior. The Bible said, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Let me ask you, how's your growth been this past year? Have you grown? Are you different? And then the third aspect of our mission is reaching others. Could you say it with me real quickly? Here we go. Ready? Honoring God, building lives, reaching others. Can we have a little passion in it? Are you ready? Honoring God, building lives, reaching others. Where are you in the process? Are you honoring God? Have you moved into the section that you're building, into this process of building lives? Are you now in some way of meaningful service of reaching others? Because that's the third aspect, is honoring God, building lives, which is growing in grace, and then reaching others to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And part of that observing or doing what God's commanded us is being involved in meaningful ministry to make a difference. And can I just say something, okay? And I believe this is important to understand tonight. Meaningful ministry doesn't just take place within the four walls of this church. It's not just something that's voted on a ballot. Okay? When we vote on a ballot the end of January for some officers and some people in our church to do some things, it's not like that those are the only people in our church that serve God. There's many more people that serve God that's never voted on. They're involved in ministry. Listen, I just want to say, I want to thank God for the food groups. That's meaningful ministry. You're ministering to somebody, you're honoring God, and you're building someone's life through encouragement, and you're reaching because you're a testimony for the Lord. When that meal is spread, there's numbers of unsaved people and family members at a funeral, and they say, "Wow, boy, your church is something else. Never seen anything like this before." It impacts people's lives. I want to say I'm thankful for the ladies that serve the funeral meals during the week. You say, "Oh, preacher, that just seems like a small thing." No, that's a huge thing. Could you imagine me, Brother Vernon, Brother Rod, and Brother Keaton doing that? That would be awful. Number one, because I wouldn't be able to keep them out of desserts. But I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for what you do here, the music into things, the instruments that are played, the specials. You cannot imagine the work that goes into the music ministry of our church. Can't even imagine it. The hours of practice, the commitment. I'll come in here on a Saturday and there'll be people who've been here for hours practicing and working so that when they step up here on Sunday morning, it's not a performance, but that they honor God with what they do.
reaching others. Everybody ought to be doing something meaningful for the Savior. As we go through this year, find something meaningful to do for the Lord. You know, just going to the funeral home, just visiting the hospital, just picking up the telephone, our care group members. Can I stress how important you are as a care group leader in our church? Boy, don't let that thing fail. That is so important to come alongside people when they hurt, to help us keep up with people. We don't want people falling through the cracks. I had a person tell me just the other day, they said, you know, I haven't been to church since Christmas, and I'll be honest with you, I had no idea. No idea. I haven't been here since Christmas. The husband had the flu, the wife had the flu, and then daughter had the flu. Just boom, boom, right, one right after the other. Everybody's sick. And I had no idea. Because when I look out, there's certain times you look out through there, especially on a Sunday morning, if all a person comes on Sunday morning, and you look out there, and you just see sometimes a group of people, and if you're like my height, and you're sitting behind somebody tall, you can miss me. Okay, you can. That can, especially when I'm sitting behind Mike McKinney. You can forget it. You're not going to see me, right, Brother Mike? I'll be hidden. Okay? And so there's times that I just don't see them, but you know what? You see that. And that helps us to know so that we can drop a card in the mail or make a phone call or make a visit. And those cards, I walk into our homes and the homes, and I'll visit with our people that are suffering. Do you realize I had our secretaries to do something for me? I said, I want you to make a list. And I'm not going to preach all night. I said, I want you to make a list of all the people in our church that are chronically ill. That means that they have some type of chronic illness or disease that they're fighting. Back, cancer, another type of debilitating illness, age, whatever it is. 20% of our adult membership has a chronic illness. 20%. There's more people to be ministered to in our church than in its history of people that are hurting. Heart issues. 20%. It's impossible. We're nearing up into the work of probably close to, I can't remember, 50 or 60, or maybe even more than that, because we're talking about adult membership. And it might be even be higher than that, but it's amazing the number of people in our church. And through the last 8.5 years, we've seen more and more of our people that are shut in, more and more of our people not able to get out like they used to, and they need to be loved. And I've walked into their homes, and I bet Brother Vernon can attest to this as well, and they'll pick up and they'll show me stacks of cards, because I can promise you they live from mailbox, from mail delivery to mail delivery, waiting on that next card that encourages them. Your cards make a difference in people's lives. Find a way this year. Just let's recommit tonight that we're going to honor God. We're going to build lives, and we're going to reach others. And I'm going to talk to you next Sunday night. Listen, I can't stress how important next Sunday night's going to be for the future. Listen, if we're not here, we can't catch the vision. But I promise you, if you'll catch the vision, you'll be different next year, at the end of this year, than you were tonight. I promise you that. I promise you. Let me give you the third thing, and I'm done tonight. Not only is there possibility, not only purpose, but there's a peril here. Notice what he says in 19 of, is that my cue? Oh, okay. I thought now they worked something into the mic, and when I preach too long, it sort of starts cutting off or something. It's like, all right, you're done, preacher. Proverbs 29:18, he says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Do you see that? The people perish. That word perish means to loosen or to dismiss. It carries the idea of someone or something going backwards rather than forward. It was sometimes used of a woman with long hair who let down her hair to be aimlessly blown about by the wind. And so to be without vision is to be aimless. It's to be without aim or purpose in your life. And a Christian with no vision or who has lost their vision will wander aimlessly through life without ever reaching their full potential for God. Without ever knowing the fullness of God's blessing, of what could be in your life. Listen, if we're not careful, we'll start going backwards rather than forward. Nobody's static. You're going somewhere all the time in your own spiritual life. You're either going forward with God or you are moving away from God. Someone said, unless God's people have a clear vision, a clear understanding of where they're headed, the probability of a successful journey is severely limited. And what is true of a Christian personally is true of a church collectively. Do you realize that America, I read a statistic that over 80% of churches in America are either in decline or they're dying. I go into churches and I preach all the time. And you'll have a, and listen, I'm going to say something. I thank God for every silver-haired person in our church. I praise God for you because I'm getting more silver-haired every day of my life, okay? All right? But I can walk into churches and I preach in them all the time. I preached in a church on Wednesday night. Sweet people. They were sweet people. There was about 25 of them, maybe 30. Some of them were some Choctaw Indians. It was a great opportunity to preach to them. They had a few children off the Indian reservation there. But you know what? The majority of churches you go in, all you're going to do is see a handful of silver-haired people that's holding the fort. And by default, that church is one day going to cut out the lights, be boarded up, and it's going to die. Do you realize that every year churches across America are boarded up and they close their doors never to open again? And it's not just small churches. How many of you know the great Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee? How many of you know of Dr. Lee Robertson? Now more hands go up. That church at one time would seat 5,000 people or more. I sat in that thing and, man, you about had to have a telescope to see the pulpit. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Vernon? And went up there for a meeting with Brother John Vernon and Brother Jimmy Cartwright when I was a Bible college student here. They took me to the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. You remember that, Brother John? And they took care of me, took me up there, and never experienced anything like that in my life. There were chapels all over Chattanooga. Thousands of people impacted. If you go there today, the church doesn't exist. Thousands. It is now a contemporary, seeker-sensitive church that only has a handful of people or maybe a couple hundred people, which would be a handful compared to the thousands that meets on the Camp Joy property outside the city of Chattanooga. It's gone. Doesn't exist. It's not there. And you know why? Because there was a church that lost its vision. And you know what? We've got something we need to do, and I'm going to close. As I look around this building, God's blessed us with children and young people. On Wednesday night, we'll have over 100 children and teenagers in our church being ministered to. And listen, I don't say that with pride in my heart. I say to God be the glory. But if we lose them, if we don't have something to hand to them, then there'll come a day that people will ride by this church. And listen, I talk to people all the time where churches used to be just like this one, that were filled on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday night. And now there's 25, 30 people just trying to keep the doors open. And perish the thought that happens to Calvary Baptist Church. But you and I have to strive together to make sure that we have something to hand to the next generation. Together, let's honor God. Together, let's build lives. Together, let's reach others. Together, let's fulfill the vision that God places in our hearts. Because when a church loses its vision, that church will cease to impact its community for God. It will lose its strength, its vibrancy and vitality. It will cease to make a difference. There will be lost potential. There will be lost people. And there will be a letdown Savior. Because our God deserves better than for us to give up the ship before He comes. Amen. And can I say something? God wants you to be a part of it. He does. Who's going to be the prayer warriors at Calvary Baptist Church for tomorrow? Who's going to be the bus captains? Who's going to be the bus drivers? Who's going to be the Sunday school teachers? Who's going to be the ushers and greeters and nursery workers? And God wants to raise up a generation to serve Him right here. I'm asking you tonight, will you be a part of that? Will you re-enlist? Will you step forward and say, God, here am I? Will you let God enlarge your coast? Listen, your family, your children, this community, our world depends on us rising up and saying, here am I, Lord. Use me. Here am I, Lord. Work in me. Listen, we've got churches being planted all over the world because of the ministry of this church. We've got missionaries on deputation. We need to be a place that we're continuing to train young men and young women to go out from this place and accomplish works for Him. Amen? And that's what we want to do. Let's keep the home fire burning. Let's keep this place strong that God can accomplish His will and agenda through Calvary Baptist Church. And I ask you, will you rise up? Will you let Him use you? Will you be a part of what God wants to do in the days ahead? Father, take the message. Use it in every heart and every life tonight. I pray tonight, Lord, there'll be some young people, some teenagers that would come, and God, they'd want something from you. Lord, I pray tonight there'll be some adults and maybe some young adults that are singles in our church. And I'm thankful for every single young man and single young lady in their 20s and some on up in their 30s, Lord, and who serve in this church. And Lord, they make a big difference here, and I'm thankful for it. And God, maybe some young married couples, and Lord, some middle-aged, and Lord, our silver-haired, young at heart people. Lord, that have just been faithful through the years. I pray, God, that You'll continue to help them to be able to pull in the traces with us as we together seek to accomplish Your will for this ministry. Help us, Lord, tonight to re-enlist. Help us tonight, Lord, to make ourselves available. Help us tonight, Lord, to commit ourselves to that You set before us, that You might be lifted up and glorified, that the world might know that there is a God, and that they would know Your name. And that Christ would be magnified from this place. And we'd be a lighthouse to change our community for You and impact it for You. In Jesus' name I pray.